You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's get straight into the word of God. Luke 7, 11 to 17. Luke 7, and we're going to start reading in verse 11. This is going to be the last sermon in the series, kind of like a small series that we've been doing called Transformation. And before I read the text, just to give you the foundation of what we want to speak about today. When God made man, God did not design man to suffer the way we suffer. God did not make man to go through the wicked things that we see. We see wars and we see rape and we see famines. And God did not make us for these diseases, Ebola and all that we see going on right now. When God made Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and he put them, it's almost in a paradise. They were in a paradise. But when we look at the world today, we say, well, how come there's so much destruction? Well, the simple answer is that the Bible says that Adam disobeyed God, and God warned Adam, listen, when you disobey me, when you take of the fruit, from that day you will surely die. And from that moment, death enters into man's existence. You got to understand that death, corruption, sin, everything that we see, the element of death, is not just physical death, but it's death, meaning there is a destructive nature or force has been released. That whatever we have seems to wear out, seems to tarnish, seems to get old, seems to get infected. And now we see that mankind, is technology is growing and growing and growing, but new diseases are being developed because death has been released. This is part of life. It sounds funny to say it, but I mean, no, death is part of life. Death is part of life. And I want to look at this in the word of God today and see how Jesus transforms a situation. And the power of God is so awesome that God is even able to transform death. And this should be encouraging to us, because I'm talking about our God. Look at someone, say, he's talking about my God. Luke 7:11. Soon afterwards, he went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And he drew near to the gate of the town. Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bearers, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this was reported about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Let's pray. Father, we just pray right now for your anointing. Father, we're going to make room today for you to come down and for you to flex your muscles. Father, when it comes to the area of death and when it comes to the area of decay, Lord, there is nothing man can do. And Father, we are helpless before you. But right now we ask, Father, that you would help us in our lives, in our situations, in our minds, our souls, and our spirit. Even in this ministry and in this church, Father, I pray that you would come down and glorify yourself. Magnify the name of your son, Jesus, that we would see him high and lifted up. King of kings, Lord of lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. We ask you all of this, and God's people said,
amen.
I want to say that death is man's biggest enemy many times. When we look at life, death is man's biggest enemy. And in this text, what we see is there's a story of Jesus coming into a town, and he's coming into a region, and as he's coming in, the Bible actually said there was a great crowd with him, but as he's coming in, there's a funeral procession coming out. There is these bearers, and they're carrying this dead man, and they're coming out as Jesus is coming in, and Jesus comes into this circumstance, into this situation, and he's confronted with death. He's confronted with death, and doesn't matter where we go in life, the longer you live, the more you're going to be confronted with death. The longer you live, the more, that's just the facts of it. The longer we live, we're going to be confronted with death. There's just the reality of death, that people we know, loved ones, grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters pass away. Very difficult to process, very difficult to go through. The word death, when we say something is death, we use it, we understand what it is when people die. But I want us to understand, even in our lives, that when we use that word death, you know, that's dead, that's finished, dead and buried. What that means is life has gone out of it. Very simple, life has gone out of it. There's no more life in that. If you use that terminology for a situation or a circumstance that you was going through, it's dead and buried. That means that there's no life in it. There's life has gone out of it. There's no real expectation that anything is going to change. It's over. How many know when someone dies, it's over? There's no conversation anymore. This is why, and let me put this in there, this is why we need to keep right relationships with one another. Because it's too late to apologize after someone is dead. You got to keep right relationships. You and your parents, listen, if the natural course of life flows, your parents will die before you. That's the way nature is. Pastor, don't say that. That's life. I wish it wasn't so. You've got to keep right relationship with your parents. Do the best you can. But parents, sometimes a tragedy will happen. A spouse. Whenever I leave my house, I don't leave my house with beef with my wife. Now, we have our arguments, we have our disagreements, but I'm not going to storm out the house. I may not come home that day. I may not come home that day. Whenever I love you, and I'm going to leave the house, because I want the last thing that I said when I saw my wife is, I love you. Get out of here, you old tramp. And then you die, and that's ringing. You know, there are many people today. Because when there's death, life's gone out of it, it's over. You know what death speaks of? Death speaks of hopelessness. That's what death really speaks about. Hopelessness. You've heard me say many times, hope. The word hope just means that you expect that things will change for the better. That's a simple way of explaining hope. That if I've got no job, I've got hope that I'll get a job. If I'm in debt, I've got hope that one day I'll get out of debt. If I'm single and I want to get married, maybe I feel a bit lonely, one day I'm going to meet someone, the right person for me. There's hope. That's what hope is about. But when you speak of death, death says there is no hope. There is no hope that nothing will... It's not going to change. It's dead. There's no hope that that thing is going to change. And so what we understand is that when we look at the word death and an experience of death, what it really is translating to us many times is hopelessness. And I want to say to you is that in life, we can come to a place where there is hopelessness. There could be things in your life that you've lost hope over. There's things in your life where you've just lost hope that it's going to get better. Things in your life where you've lost hope about that situation. See, I've been pastoring a little bit, I've been saved a little bit, and I've been alive a little bit. And I realize you can be so good in one area, and in another area, you've been struggling with it for so long, you've been trying to do it for so long, you've seen nothing move, nothing go on, that you start to lose hope. That situation now becomes dead. It's like there's dead. That is just dead. I can't. You know what? I've lost hope in that situation. There's a situation in your life where you realize no one can do anything. That's a hopeless situation. You know, there's one thing to be in a tough situation and you can call someone and you know that they can help you. Most of us, we like to be a bit independent. We're trying to go through life, do our own thing. But then you get to that point, oh, I didn't want to call that person, but I call them up and they can help me. And that's good to have that. You call someone, you need a bit of money. You call someone, you need a connection. You need a breakthrough. You need something. You can call someone. But sometimes in life, there's no one you can call. When someone dies, who do you call? You can't call anybody. You know, that's the hopelessness of experiencing death. And sometimes there are situations that we can be in. You know there's no one you can call. There's no one that can turn this situation around. There's no, who do you deal with? Not only does this speak of hopelessness, it speaks of loss. A death is a loss. You've lost somebody. You've lost something. Let's look at this text. In this text, the Bible says that, describes really, that this man that was dead, he's a widow's son. Now, many of you might have just read over that passage before. But when we stop and pause on it a minute, I want you to think about this. This is a widow's son who's dead. This woman has already lost her husband. This woman has already experienced a loss. See, this is one of the toughest things that we're going to have to experience. Those of us that are married and people are going to get married, is that 99% of us, we're not going to die at the same time as our spouse. That one of us are going to die first. That you're gonna go, there's gonna be a time where you're gonna go to the funeral and stand beside the grave of your spouse. That all your people, all the friends and family and the contacts you've met, and maybe your children are gonna be there with you, and people are gonna be weeping, and you know that your spouse is going into the ground and they're not coming home with you. And you're going to go to maybe a funeral event and people will be there, sorry, weeping and crying. And eventually you go home. And you go home and that night you go back to your bed knowing that you're alone in that bed and your spouse will never be there. That's what this woman has already experienced. She's already experienced a loss. And let me give you a deeper revelation on it. In Bible times, there is no real economics for a woman. There was no benefit system. The man would go out to work and provide for the woman. And now this woman has no provider. Now this woman is in a situation where she has to live off the charity of those around her. This is why the Bible would always tell us, listen, whatever you're doing, wherever you go, preach the gospel, but don't forget the widows and the fatherless. You ever read that? You wonder why? Why do they keep saying it? Because there was no benefit system. If we, the Bible said, if we don't take care of them, who's going to take care of them? And here is this woman has already experienced this loss, but at least she has a son, and the son can work and take care of his mother. At least she's got, she can look into her son's face and say, you know what, I remember your dad, we can talk. And then her son dies. Come on, imagine how she feels. Is this, come on. It's one thing to lose a spouse. It's another thing to lose a child. Every married person in this place would be like, you know what? Pastor, you're describing that losing a spouse in detail. I don't like that, man. Let's just move on. That's tough to think about. That may be tough to think about, but let me tell you what's way tougher than losing a spouse. Your child dying before you. Because if you're a normal parent in this place, you want to live long, see your child, meet someone, get married, see your grandchildren, and then it's time for you to go home. Go home to be with Jesus and let them live their life. You do not want to be at the graveside of one of your children. You do not want to outlive your children. I want to say that death speaks of loss. That this woman, when Jesus meets this woman is experiencing loss. She's lost a child. She's lost a husband. You know, it's one thing never to have. It's one thing never to have something, but it's a whole other thing to have it and lose it. It's one thing never to have a child and you want a child. That's one thing. That's difficult. But it's a whole nother thing to have a child and to lose a child. It's worse to lose a child. It's one thing to be pioneering and try to get people saved. And you're preaching and no one's getting saved and you, okay, let me go back to the mother church. It's a whole nother thing to see people get saved and work with them and see them for years in a church serving God and you invest in them and then they backslide. And they rip a part of your heart. Every time they go, part of you goes with them. And you have to just mend your heart again. And say, well, you know what, let's just keep going on. You can't, so what, backslider. Any shepherd worth anything could never feel like that. When people leave this church and backslide, let me tell you this now. Let me tell you this now. It affects me. I feel it. I don't take it lightly. I go on with your bad self. No. I may bark, my bark is louder than my bike many times. It's harder when you've had and you've lost. And this woman is lost. Some of you, maybe you've been in relationships and you've given your heart to people thinking this was going to be it. This was going all the way. Someone told you they loved you and you opened yourself totally to them thinking this was it. And you've thrown off all restraint. You know, you love someone, you fall in love, you throw off all restraint. I love you. And you let everything out. And then you find out they violated you. Or then they come and say, you know what, I don't think this is working. They have that talk of you. Can we just be friends? Friends? Why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago about friends? Friends. When you've got married and then you feel like you're losing your marriage. See, it's one thing never to have. It's another thing when you feel like you're losing your dreams. You've got dreams and aspirations. Some of you, God has spoken to you into your spirit, deposited vision and goals and things in the spirit. He's deposited in you. And then you start to get excited about it. And you're telling people about it. And you're praying about it. And then the more and more you live, it's like, I don't see how this is going to happen. I'm losing control. It's becoming less and less of a viability. Your dreams are dying. See, when something is dead, you bury it. What do people say that's dead and buried? When something is dead, you bury it. And maybe there's people here, things have died inside of you. See, the process of sorting out death is what we call a funeral. After death, there's the funeral. Once the doctor, or that's it, they're dead. You have to get on with the painful process of arranging a funeral. This is where Jesus meets them. Jesus is coming in while they're going out with this funeral. This is where Jesus, listen, some of you here today, this is where Jesus wants to meet you. He wants to meet you at this place in your heart. You haven't told anybody, you haven't told me, but in your secret moments, God has seen, because the Bible says that Jesus saw what was going on. And he was moved with compassion. Listen, let me tell you about God. Because if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you do not know Jesus, you will never know God. You want to know who God is, look at Jesus. Jesus could have been like, oh, that's sad, a funeral, and just walked past. The Bible says, no, that's not God. God sees these people weeping, a great crowd. They're weeping with this woman because, listen, there's a death. But also, they must have felt the weight. This poor woman, she's lost her husband. Now she's lost her son. They're weeping with this woman. The Bible says there was a great crowd. And Jesus sees her weeping. Can I say to you today, when Jesus sees us in trials and turmoil, when Jesus sees us weeping, when Jesus sees that our prayer is not really a prayer that you could pray openly and people would be clapping afterwards, it's just a cry through tears. It's just a lament. It's just a cry, God, I've lost this. This thing is dead. I don't know what to do. There's nowhere to go. Jesus meets this woman. He sees this situation and he starts to interrupt. See, because they're carrying that which is dead. They're burying it. They're going to bury him. There's nothing more we can do. Are you carrying dead things today? Are there dreams that you once believed in? Are there aspirations? Are there visions? Are there things that you once had? Are you just carrying them? Are you carrying your hopes of relationships, hopes of ever getting married? Really and truly, that's dead. That hope is dead. You're just carrying it. Are you carrying someone that you was once praying for and believing in that would get saved? Now you don't believe they'll ever get saved. They can't get saved. It's way too hard. It's impossible. That thing is dead now to you. Are you just carrying them like a funeral? Are you just, they're dead. They're never going to get saved. You're just carrying them. What about your marriage? Have you gone through things and people go through circumstances and to them, their marriage is dead and really they're just carrying it. Yeah, they were moving. Yeah, there was a crowd. Yeah, there's something going on there, but it's not life. They're carrying the guy, but they're not carrying him to the hospital. They're not carrying him to the temple. They're not carrying him to Christ. They're just carrying him to bury him. You could be in a ministry, and the ministry, I'm going to get involved in this, and this is going to change, and people are going to get saved, and you've been doing it, and nothing, you do not see anything, and then after a while, you're just carrying that ministry. There are pastors that are just carrying their church. They're just carrying their church, carrying it. It died a long time ago. I was speaking to some people in the church recently and saying, because we've moved from your God as to here, we saw the attendance go down. And I was like, why? We've got more room here and less people. But I realized is that there were people when we was in York Garden, they were just carrying their salvation. And when we moved here, it was like an excuse to, let me just slip out. Maybe no one will notice. Your life has become a funeral. You know, funerals are very difficult. They're just difficult. You know, since I've been the pastor here, I've done 2 funerals. Not, you know, for people in this church, they've asked me to do funerals. And, you know, I love the people in the church. I want to help. I always want to help. But it's not what I want to do. You know, I'll do a funeral. It's not, no one wants to do it. You do it to help the family. That's why you do it. But, you know, when there's a funeral is a solemn. You understand that? Funerals are solemn occasions. Funerals are not places of joy. Yeah, come on. We may, in the eulogy, crack a joke. We remember when they used to say this. We remember they used to do that. And we half crack a smile. But underneath the smile, there's sorrow. And that's how some people's life are. They'll come to church, crack a smile, but because inside of them things have died, that's not real joy. That's not real joy. That's just like a funeral smile. It's not real joy. Really, when you don't see people laughing at a funeral. Really, it's just a surface laugh. Or if you see someone really laughing, it's inappropriate. What are you doing? Why are they cracking jokes, playing cards at a funeral, laughing and joking? I've seen people, what are you doing? At funerals, people outside smoking weed. Like, come on. Are you nuts? And the same thing is with life. When you're carrying something which is dead, your life is really just a funeral. Your joy and your smiles are just surface. on the inside, you're solemn. On the inside is mourning. On the inside is crying. Everything changes when Jesus comes on the scene. Everything changes. See, that this is the last sermon in the Transformation series. And that's what I'm trying to communicate to you every week. That everything changes when Jesus comes on the scene. The first one we spoke about was a wedding. There's a wedding, there's no wine, there's a problem, there's going to be shame on the family. But there's a problem, and Jesus is there, and that problem becomes a blessing. Think about this. Bless you. Think about this now. There, Jesus comes in. If Jesus weren't there, it's just a problem. Then we spoke about the nets, empty nets, just washing these empty nets. Then Jesus comes along, and afterwards those nets are now bursting with life. That was once empty, bursting with life. Here we see Jesus come in, and he comes in and he interrupts a funeral, and Jesus turns a funeral into a revival. That's what it is. We're always like, I want revival. I want revival. Can I say to you today, you just need to get Jesus into it. You want revival? All you need is get Jesus into that situation. Because Jesus doesn't need, everything. We had a party and he turned a party into a revival. Oh, we had a wonderful get together. We was all laughing and joking and he turned it into a revival. No, he turned a funeral. A funeral. This is where there's no life at all. This is dead, long time. We're just going through the formalities. We're just about to bury this thing. Jesus, listen, I'm going to turn this thing. Jesus moves from funeral to revival. What is dead in your life right now? What is there no hope in your life right now? What have you lost right now? What have you given up on right now? Can I say to you today, Jesus is able to transform it. He can transform it. This has got to be the... what we believe. See, Jesus does some things that we don't understand. The first thing, well, one of the things we see that Jesus says, he says to the widow, do not weep. Think about it now, do not weep. Hold up, this is a funeral, Jesus, come on. Do not weep. See, Jesus knows what he's about to do. And Jesus would speak to some people today and say, listen, your life is just mourning, weeping, depression, heaviness, downcast, sorrow. You ever see those people? Like, you know, we come into church busted and disgusted, and then Jesus saves us and we start to get things together. Sometimes people come in there crying on every service, crying. Ooh. That's all right, they're new. That's fine. Jesus is going to build them up. The scary thing is 10 years later, still bawling. Every service. Jesus wants to do something new. Jesus would say, don't weep. Imagine you was at that funeral and you see the widow woman and you know the circumstances. And then this dude comes in and he's like, yeah, don't weep. What are you talking about? How insensitive. Let this woman weep. The words are out of place. You cannot say that. See, in Psalms 30 verse 5, it says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night. You may be going through your night experience right now, but weeping, listen, weeping has to stop. Look at someone and say, don't weep. God wants to do something. This is what Jesus does. Let's home in on what he does here, and then we're gonna close and pray and believe God. The Bible says that the first thing he does, he touches the bearers. He says, don't weep, because he's about to do something. And he touches the bearers. He touches the men that are carrying this dead boy. And I found this very interesting, that Jesus is going to raise this boy, but before he raises the boy, he touches the person who's carrying the boy. Yeah. See, there are things in your life you want God to raise. But before he raises that thing that you're carrying, he has to touch you first. He wants to touch you first. See, you may be carrying something, this relationship, this marriage. Listen, Jesus wants to touch you first. Resurrect this. No, I want to touch you first. You may be in a ministry, and that ministry, you're carrying a dead ministry, and there's no hope. This thing won't work, and you're in a church, and you're going to go through some stuff. Listen, before God will resurrect it, he says, I need to touch you first. Oh, my health will never be right again. Listen, God can heal your health. God can resurrect your health, but he wants to touch you first. He wants to touch you first. Whatever it is in your life where you've given up on hope, where you're going through the dark period, where you've said, this is never going to happen to me. Can I say to you, you're waiting. God, will you resurrect it? Yes, I'm getting excited now, Pastor. Keep on this. I want a revival from a funeral. But can God touch you first? Amen. Can he touch you? The Bible says when he touched the bearers, they stood still. He touched them and they stood still. Jesus says this funeral has to stop. Are you willing to stop the funeral? See, the funeral is only the rightful custom thing to do. But Jesus says, I want to stop it. I want to stop this. I want to interrupt your funeral. Jesus wants to interrupt some things in our life. We've been going through this for so long, going through the motions. Jesus wants to interrupt. Can Jesus touch you today? Can he interrupt you today? Can he come in and stop? And let me not just say, you know, I'm not going to say self-pity, but maybe it's just the right way, the normal way, the natural way of process. Look, this is not working for me. I don't think it'll ever work. I've got no hope for this. And so you've started to settle into this mode of this heaviness, this dark cloud. And you've just, I'm just going to, woe is me, go through the motions. This is just the way it is. And Jesus today would say, let me touch you. Let me stop all this negative talk. Let me stop all of this this cloud over your head. Come out from under that cloud. I'm going to do something today. Before there's a transformation, you've got to stand still. Before there's a transformation, you've got to stop the funeral. What Jesus is showing, it's not over. Look at someone say, it's not over. What Jesus is trying to say is, don't give up. Look at someone say, don't give up. What Jesus is trying to do is say, listen, start believing again. Look at someone and say, start believing again. This is what Jesus is trying to do. Can I say to you today is that look at this situation. This is beautiful. As I read this, listen, you're going to like this. Amen. As this funeral is going out, Jesus is coming in. Think about this. As death is carrying you out, hope is coming in. Yeah. Death is carrying you out. Hope is coming in. Death as a crowd. Yeah, you can have your crowd death. You can have your crowd funeral. But life and hope and redemption is coming in and is going to interrupt. Before it ever got to the grave, Jesus intercepted. Before they ever buried him, Jesus stopped them. Yeah. See, listen, we were dead in our sins. We were going to the devil's hell. If I would have died at 22, I would have went to a devil's hell for all eternity. I was a sinner. But as sin was carrying me out to hell, can I say to you, Jesus Christ was coming in. Hope came in. Life came in. And God touched me. See, if that don't get you excited, I don't even think you're saved. Because I know where I was going. I was on my way to hell. And he stopped me. He intercepted me. Hope came to me. My eyes was open. My ears were open. And I heard the Redeemer's voice. Can I say to you today, hell may be taking you out, but hope is bringing you in. With God, nothing is impossible. I'm not a deep theologian. I like to read and study. But I'd like to be that type of Dr. Lowe, have a doctor in theology. But I'm just not wired that way. But let me tell you this now. This is what I've got tattooed on my heart. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I'm going to put some scriptures on the board and you can write these down, because I wanted you to get what I'm saying, and I want you to revisit them. These are passages in the Bible where God raised the dead. The Bible speaks about the widow of Zarephath's son. Here is this woman. She has a son. The son gets sick and he dies. The Bible says that the man of God, Elijah, comes in and he raises him from the dead. Raises him from the dead. We know about the Shunammite woman's son. Elisha, that's the disciple of Elijah, raises him from the dead. This is amazing. That when they bury Elisha, they bury him. They've got another guy. This is Elisha is dead and buried. Elisha is dead and buried. He's buried in a tomb. And they bring there's another guy who just died. And so the other guy is dead, and they're bringing him in, and like, what do we do with him? And they throw him into a tomb. And when his body hits the place where Elisha is, dead and buried, he comes alive. Think of the power of God. This man of God, God used so powerfully, brought life to a dead son. Even when he's dead, can I say to you today, if you would get hold of God, even in your darkest moment, even after you're dead and gone, life is still flowing through you. Life is still flowing through you. Something that you did, can I say to you, parents, if you get hold of God and God is in you, that power of God will flow through you to your children. Too many parents are giving death to their children rather than life. We go to the New Testament. There's a 12-year-old girl. She's dead. Jesus comes up. They say, listen, don't trouble Jesus. She's already dead. Jesus says, she ain't dead. She's sleeping. They start laughing. But this is funny because, listen, is Jesus lying or he doesn't know? No. As soon as Jesus says what it is, it is. If I said, oh, you know, no, yeah, you're lying. She's dead. When Jesus says it, because the Bible says in Romans, he calls those things which are not as if they are. Yeah. And once he says it, all you need is for God to speak that word and that thing is coming to life. All you need is for God to say multiply and that thing will just multiply. All you need is for God to say they're getting saved now and God's going to save them. All you need is for God to say bless them and you'll start getting a blessing. All you need is for God to say promotion and you're going to be promoted. All that God needs to do is say it's time for you to get married and you'll be married. God will do it. We know the one with Lazarus. Lazarus is dead and buried, man. He's already got there. And Jesus deliberately delayed. Because Jesus is saying, listen, just in case you think like he was just like he passed out. And then I brought him to. Jesus is like, no, he's dead. And the Bible says they had wrapped him up. He's dead. And then Jesus makes this proclamation and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Can you think, this is mad. Where was Lazarus at the time? I don't know. I don't know if he was in heaven with God. I don't know what he was doing. But in the spiritual realm, his spirit has left his body. He's dead. But when Jesus calls him, wherever he was or whatever he was doing, it commands him, I've got to go back. I've got to go back. There are things, some of you have already buried it. You've already buried it. You've already wrapped it up. You've already rolled the stone over. Jesus today can still. You didn't wrap it up because you hated it. Because you're wicked. Just like, what's the natural course of things, bosses? There's no hope. What's the point if we keep hoping? And you know, people say, don't get your hopes up. That's what people say, and they don't get your hopes up. And so you don't. You're like, okay, you know what? It's better to just realize, come to terms with it. So you've wrapped it up and you've packed it away. But as I've been preaching, a little light is starting to shine. Something in your mind is saying he's talking about that. God is speaking to you by his spirit and reminding you about something. And you've packed it into the depth. You've rolled it, wrapped it into the depths of your psyche, of your mind, of your spirit, your soul, no matter where it is. Today, Jesus would call out to it. And you're starting to realize, yes, this destiny, this mission that I've got, this calling I've got, this plan that God had for me, this dream, this hope that I once had can come to life. Maybe there's some of you here that you've been alive a little while, and it's been years and decades since you've even thought about this happening. The Bible says that not just Jesus, but his disciples. There's a woman called Dorcas, she dies. The apostle Peter comes and raises her from the dead. Eutychus is in church and he's at the window, and the Bible says that Paul was preaching long. See, it's biblical to preach long, church. The Bible says that Paul was preaching long, and he preached so long, the guy fell asleep. And I preached a whole sermon on that. If you fall asleep, you might die. I can think of two culprits right now, and I won't look at them. But he falls out the window and he dies, and the Bible says that they go down and they raise him from the dead. They raise him from the dead. The Bible says that when Jesus died, that people actually came out of the graves. You think of how powerful that is. When Jesus died, the atonement of sin was paid for. It was in the spiritual realm, it was like thousands and thousands of nuclear bombs went off. Something has changed. The whole shift has changed. That now that man can have access to God through the righteousness of Christ. Not because he has to offer blood or try to be this or try to be that. Simply because what Christ has done. It was so spectacular, people came out of the grave. Walked among. There's historians that have actually made reference to this. Not just the Bible, ancient historians that have made reference. That people actually witness that when Jesus died, there was people that actually rose. Revelation 1 verse 17 and 18. This is the greatest. This is Jesus speaking. Listen, he says, John is speaking, but then he says about Jesus. And when I saw him, this is John talking about Jesus, I saw him. I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me. I don't know, just saw him and just died my days. Imagine that, I'll give God a thing or two when I see him. No, you will die. He said, I saw Jesus and I fell down dead. Jesus had to revive him again. But that's not even my point. Listen to what Jesus said. He's saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. See, Jesus said, I was alive, I died, I came back. Jesus says, listen, that's nothing for me. That's nothing. Death is nothing for me. He's saying, this is who I am. He's not even saying, this is what I did. He said, this is what I am. I am the resurrection. I can draw back anything that's dead. I can bring life to any dead thing. He says, I am alive forevermore. He says, amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He has the keys. He conquers death. Jesus conquers death. He's beaten death. He beat death himself. He beat death. Imagine thinking about this now. Someone just beat somebody. Just beat them. Beat them like a drum. Move. Beat them. Then that person comes to deal with you. Yeah, I'm coming to deal with you. Listen, Jesus, he's already beat you. You wanted to beat you again? That's what it is. He's beat death. Now death is threatening you. And you're getting upset. You're losing the plot. You're depressed. Death is after me. Death is going to beat me. You're at home locking the door, biting your fingernails, anxious. Death is going to beat me. Why don't you just call Jesus? Why don't you just call Jesus? Jesus, listen, okay, wait there. You want to fight me? Wait there. Jesus comes. Death has to run. Death has to run. He's already been dealt with. Jesus says to the young man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and he began to speak. And I love this part. I'm going to close with this. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Can you think of that? That's it. Jesus could have, but we see the heart of God here. That Jesus takes the son. He stands up, he speaks, and then Jesus takes him. And says, listen, the thing that you thought was dead, the thing that you gave up on, Jesus says, I'm giving him back to you. Today, Jesus wants to give you some things. God can transform a funeral to a revival if we would only believe. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.